Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
So we bless you, Lord. We thank you for Barry. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your gifting upon this man's life. We thank you for keeping him healthy through this whole vaccination thing. We really thank you, Father, that that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning as he ministers the Word. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Got my notes. Jerry said I never read my notes last time I was up here. I did when he wasn't looking. So this text is really interests me for a long time. I love the text. I love the Bible, okay? And you'll probably get that as we preach here, okay? So what we want to do is we want to take a look at the text, read the text, and then we want to work on that and see what that means to us. I actually like the pastor's outline. And I think it was last week and you used it again. I think you probably used it before that, but get it into your head, then get it into your heart, then have it come out your hands. That's roughly, okay, roughly. So we're going to use that kind of model today on this particular text to get it into our head, get it into our heart, and then get it out our hands some way. We'll work at trying to get that into our actions and into real life, okay? So let's take a look. Oh, by the way, just 6 verses contains the entire story in Mark, okay? So we'll get it that way. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called him. So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing the cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. All I do is just say, wow, every time I read that text, okay? It just jumps off the page to me. So now what we want to do is we want to get the facts, okay, which we just read. We just read them. So you have a sketch of the facts, okay? Then what we want to do, we want to move to meaning. And then beyond that, we want to move into action. How do we put that into action? Now, and Luke tells the same story, by the way. Wasn't that great? I didn't do that. Isn't that great? Yeah. And there's an element, real element, of that particular scene in the story. Where Jesus, where the blind man shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he just keeps going. That's what a baby does. Just keeps it going until you figure it out. Then when you figure it out, he'll shut up. So, all right. So Luke has a story. But it's a little different in Luke. Luke has the same story of Jesus in Jericho, but the blind man is healed as he enters Jerusalem, enters Jericho in Luke. And then you have that great story of Zacchaeus. How many of you know that story? How many of you know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little... Oh, come on. Yeah, yeah. So as Jesus leaves, he introduced himself to Zacchaeus. And then Jesus invites himself to lunch at Zacchaeus' house. And he goes over there. And then you have this wonderful story where Zacchaeus says, it's almost, you know, just like impromptu, says, half of my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've taken anything wrongly, I'm going to return it fourfold. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. But it's a more leisurely story. In Mark, there's a pressure of Jesus leaving and kind of getting away, and he's going to go up to Jerusalem where he will die. And the last week of his life is there. So it's like Bartimaeus only has this one little window of opportunity to get in there to get the attention of Jesus and to be healed. And so we want to get beyond now the facts, and we want to get to meaning. Okay, so I separated this into three ideas. I never even checked the clock. I better check the clock. Okay, I separate this into three ideas, and hopefully I'm trying to boil it down, okay, for myself, because I'm a little slow on the uptake, and it has to be real simple for me. Okay, number one is to know something. Now, just think about it. Bartimaeus got an audience with Jesus Christ. And you know my advice to Bartimaeus when he leaves the curb to go to Jesus? You know what my advice to him is? Don't mess this up. What a wonderful opportunity to get an audience with Jesus Christ. And so he makes his, I love to see that, how he made his way to Jesus. I don't know. I can just see him feeling as long as somebody had to point him and aim him in the right direction. But he did it. I really would like to see that. But as soon as he gets there, Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? It's a simple question, profound, but simple. What do you want me to? And who would think Jesus would even ask such a question? Who? And it deserves an answer. And that's Bartimaeus says, I want to receive my sight. It's a simple response, but yet profound. Guess what? Bartimaeus knows exactly what he wants. That's for you. You're supposed to know exactly what you want. Because we all know that if you ask, you receive. If you seek, what do you find? What you're looking for. And if you knock, that door will open. It's a profound, simple question. What is it you're looking for? What is it you want? And Jesus wants to give it to you. Okay? You really need to know where you're going. How many of you know yogiisms? Anybody know yogiism? If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there? If you don't know where you're going, there's no right road. Absolutely no right road. It's important that you know what you want. Have a goal. What is it you're looking for? Jesus wants to help you get it. We'll talk about that a little later. Okay. Jesus wants to help you get it. But he can't even help you if you don't know what you want. Not even he can help you. That's why he asked Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do for you? It's a simple question, profound, but yet simple. Develop that goal. And usually when we think about goals, we move right away, we move to the how. Have you ever noticed that? People say a wonderful goal, maybe even achievable and you know, likable. And they'll move to the how and disappoint themselves and won't start. When you think about a goal, don't think about how you're going to do it. You find that out along the way. That's where you get that. Okay, number two. Believe something. This is probably the harder one of the three, okay? Jesus says to him, go, your faith has healed you. So, evidently, Bartimaeus believed something. He has faith. By the way, that's interchangeable. What you believe, faith, that's interchangeable. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By the way, that's in the King James, and that's the way I studied it the first time, and I haven't been able to get that out of my head, okay? Your faith is what you get. You don't get anything else but faith. That's it. There's not like a number two, number three. No, that's it. Faith is all you get. It's the substance of things hoped for. Let's say you come here hoping for something. Well, show me that hope. You can't do it. All you got is faith. That's the substance of things hoped for. So, if I hope for something, my faith is the substance of that. Because faith doesn't have substance. Right? It's the evidence of things not seen. So you come to me and you say you believe in something, you hope for something. I say, well, what's the evidence of that? What are you going to show me? The only thing you have is faith. It's the evidence. That's the only thing you get. Is faith. In Romans, Paul writes this. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wow. Now that's a big statement. You see, we think that the opposite of sin is virtue. The opposite of sin is not virtue. The opposite of sin is faith. You gotta have faith in things hoped for. And obviously, this man, Bartimaeus, has faith in Jesus. Or he wouldn't have expelled all this energy and all this time to get there. He has faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus then goes to Jesus and Jesus gives him what he needs. What kind of faith do you have that you showed up here this morning? Okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, this is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because everyone who comes to God must believe, number one, that he is, he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can't have just one without you. You can't say, well, I just believe that God exists. No. No, that's not faith, really. I mean, it's faith, but it's not really, you know. That and 50 cents might get you a cup of coffee someplace. Well, maybe not. Where's Mike? Mike, I got to rephrase that one. That one's I got to get updated, okay? I got to get that updated. You see, when you meet Jesus Christ, you got to understand you're meeting pure potentiality. That's the kind of faith you got to have. When you meet God in Jesus Christ, everything is possible. Let that soak in. So if you get an audience with Jesus, remember, when you get there, what's possible? Everything is possible. Now it says it negatively. Luke quotes the angel negatively. The Mary one, he says, nothing will be impossible with God. It's in the negative. Later, Matthew will have it. It's everything is possible with God, which is in the positive. But so they're both saying the same thing. But when you meet Jesus Christ, remember, anything is possible. And everything is possible. Now you're starting to deal with faith. So when you go to Jesus, anything is possible. Let me turn to that. I want to go to Psalms 37. I know a lot of you have that memorized, but let me... Psalms 37. It would be nice if I'd find Psalms. I just had Job 37. I know it's in here. Let me read this over you, okay? Delight yourself in the Lord. How many of you come here feeling down today? Okay, let me have you change your mind. Delight yourself in the Lord. I know you mentioned Baptists a while ago, but so many Baptists look like they're sucking on lemons. Really? And to think about it. What will that get you? Yeah, it's just not going to go very far. Delight yourself in the Lord. So, you know, I used to tell them that if they're in church, you know, and they greet each other, you know, act like you're actually happy to see that person. Just act like it, okay? But you've got to. Delight. I'm happy. I'm tickled to be here. I'm tickled to get my shot. I'm happier that I'm well with it. And I'm able to speak to you this morning. But delight yourself in the Lord. And what? What's he going to give you? He's going to give you New York? San Francisco? No! What's he going to give you? The desires of your heart. You know what you want. And believe in it. That's what God wants to do for you. It used to be fashionable, really, to talk about all that people give up for Jesus. You remember that? That year, years ago. I always wondered what they were talking about. Because Jesus gave me everything. Thank you. Yeah. That's wonderful. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. Well, what's the this? Who's got it? Somebody got it down here. I heard it. The desires of your heart. So number two on the list here is to believe something. Okay? And by the way, again, faith is all you get. I remember as a young man, I wish there was a rule book to follow. I wanted a rule book. Okay, I was one of them guys. I wanted to be able to please the Lord and follow all the rules. And I didn't get any rules. What I got was faith. Faith. It starts and ends with faith. If you want to work on something, work on your faith. Say, well, I ain't got it right. Well, go over there and sit down for a while and get it right and come back. If you ain't got it right, nobody can help you. Again, there's no right road for somebody that doesn't know where they're going. One of the positive ways to look at it, there's no wrong road either, so go with that. So, okay. Now, number three in this is to do something. So you got to know something, you got to believe something, but you got to do something. Just look at this guy. That's Bartimaeus. Yeah. He starts shouting when he hears it's Jesus. How did he hear that? I don't know. There was a commotion out there, and as soon as Bartimaeus found out it was Jesus coming along, he starts shouting. So he's shouting. If there ever was a place where you could say that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, it demonstrated it's in this text right here. Because he becomes the squeaky wheel. He starts crying out, and by the way, that's a compliment to Jesus. He means that to be a compliment to Jesus. Yeah. Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay. And then later it's, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so he's shouting out, the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. And the crowd does what? Oh, hush up. Hush up. We got business to do here. We got important stuff to do. We're going with... And by the way, the crowds are just the crowds. They are crowds. They know nothing. They're dumb as a box of rocks or dumb as a bag of hammers. No, they really are. They really are. And most of the time, not only are they dumb and don't know what's going on, they're in the way. Yes. It's just the nature of being proud. Yeah. And you read the Bible like the crowd got together. Most of them don't even know why they're there. Oh, yeah, they'd be throwing the dust up in the air and all this kind of, and doing all this and don't even know why they're there. Yeah. But look, they said, oh, but be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. You cannot turn your destiny over to other people's opinions. You cannot do that. And thank God for Bartimaeus, he just shouted all the more when you tried to quiet him up. You cannot allow this world to form and mold you. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You cannot allow this. And if you do, you're going to go nowhere. You're going to do nothing. You'll be average. How many of you want to be average? I want an average meal this afternoon when I go out. I just want average. I don't want good stuff. I don't want excellent. Who wants that anyway? Don't do that. You're worth more. You're a child of the King. Start acting like it. Start believing like it. Start talking like it. Did you ever notice? Oh, by the way, he throws off his cloak. and jumps up from the curb. And you know what that cloak was? That was his beggar way. You spread that tunic out, and people would come by and throw money. Then you gather it up later. Yeah, that was it. When he threw that off, he said, no longer a beggar. No longer a beggar. I'm going to Jesus now. And he doesn't beg when he gets there. Don't go with your hat in your hand. Don't do that. You go there knowing that you're talking to the King and pure potentiality, and anything is possible when you talk to him. Yes. And you can't allow people to just keep you down and keep you shut up. No. Sometimes you really have to speak up and you have to be heard. Even if it means a little embarrassment for you. That's one of the things I really hide from and try to avoid, is any kind of embarrassment, you know. So, but you got to risk. You just have to. You have to step out. Otherwise, you just be part of the crowd. And God did not call us to be part of the crowd. Okay. He called us to be unique and wants us to be. Okay. So that's the 3 points that I wanted to get over. Now we're left with a conclusion here. Okay. How do we get this into our life? This is a great story. I mean, you talk about a rags to riches story here. I mean, this is to blind the seeing. Oh, by the way, did you notice in the very end of the text, he's following Jesus? He's using his sight to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that in the end of the text? Yeah, by the way, that's the message Mark wants us to get, is a disciple message here out of this, okay? But how do we get this? Would anybody here know what dead center is, if I said dead center? Jerry, you know what dead center is? Okay. Yeah, think. Sometimes we get on dead center. Yeah, it's a steam engine. It's from a steam engine, a piston on a steam engine that just is exactly dead center, which hardly ever happens, you know, but it happens. And once it gets there, the steam engine can't move. It cannot go backwards. It cannot go forward. I don't care how much power. I don't care how much pressure head you got on your steam. It's not going anyplace. It's on dead center. They got a little lever, though, that you can slip under the wheel and give a little left, move it just an inch or two, and you're back in business. You got all the power you need there, going forwards or backwards or whatever you want to do from there. And that's the way we get in our life. We get on dead center, and we need something that just kind of, sometimes an event will kick us off and get us going or wake us up or that kind of thing. Maybe you're on dead center. I don't know. But you know the facts of the story. Know the meaning of the story, but you got to get it into life for yourself. Get some goals that are worthy. Write them down. Make them in the simplest form possible, as Bartimaeus did. So if you get an audience with Jesus, by the way, I've got a whole laundry list of stuff just in case I get an audience with him, okay? I got it all written out there. I'm ready to go. I got at least 5 things that I'm talking to him about now, okay? Well, wouldn't it be nice if he show up and rant those? We'll see. We'll see. But you ought to have it, just in case. But for sure, I know you ought to get off the curb and join the parade. Amen? Get off the curb and join the parade. Don't be average. And certainly, don't go along with the crowd. 99% of the time, I'll guarantee you they're going the wrong direction. If you go the opposite direction, you'll probably be better off and kind of figure it out. Okay? Actually, you need to learn to think for yourself. Okay? What does that mean? You really should. Have the intestinal fortitude to think for yourself. So that in case you get an audience with Jesus, you got an answer. I tell you what I did. I talked to the pastor one day. I went to him. I told him, this is what I have in mind. This is in my intention. By the way, I call this the year of an intentionality, okay? I'm really trying to be intentional. So I told him something, okay? I tell you what. Let's do that for an invitation, okay? Let's have you just stop sitting on the premises and start standing on the promises. Get off your blessed assurance. And start doing something. Okay? Pastors, would you stand up here? Now, I already did this, okay? I'm not asking you to do something I haven't already done. Oh, I looked him right in the eye. I looked him right in the eye and told him what my intention was, okay? Well, I'll tell you one of my intentions, okay? One of my intentions is to set, oh, yes, or wherever people can fit to you, okay? One of the things I want to do is to set new standards in my family for aging. That's one of the things I want to do. And if you're going to do that, there's a lot of other things you got to do. Okay. Well, I know. The ice cream is starting to be a problem again, so I got to deal with that. So. But here. Here's what I did. I don't know if you remember when I did that. Okay, but I shook your hand. I told you I really want to set new standards of aging in my family. And guess what? I think it helps. And you know you can't trust yourself. Oh, I'm going to do this when I get home. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. You need to get... You understand the facts of the story? Got some meaning of the story? About time to get it out here. And start making it real in life. Okay? So I did that. I suggest you to do that. Let's stand together. Always stand up. That'll get you started. Okay, if you're on dead center, just say to yourself, I'm getting off. I'm going to go someplace. I'm going to do something. So come up here and shake their hand some and tell them something that you intend to do. Look, if you haven't thought about this before, fine. Make something up and come up here and tell them. No, I'm serious. The main thing is not that. The main thing is to get started. That's the main thing. Just get started. Just kick yourself off. Get a little pry bar under that wheel. Get that up. Oh, you ready? Let's do it. Let's do it. Go up there and shake his hand and tell him something. Thank you. You're awful kind to me. I hope this works.
Good word, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Good word. Thank you.
God bless you.
I'm so happy.
You and I haven't had a lot of chance to talk, okay, but I see you around here. I see you was out there at the party last night.
Yeah,
that's good.
We're going to be around every winter now. We've got a place lined up. So to be more like him, amen. To take him wherever I go.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's what I wanted. That's what
job.
I do.
Now you've got a big job. Now you've got momentum.
Oh, I've got momentum. I had it already.
You've got momentum.
You just gave me more. Good preach.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you,
Ben.
Huh? You did so good.
Thank you, honey.
Another ice cream is an issue.
best message yet. Love it.
Thank you. All these people are gaining momentum.
Bless you.
Oh, thank you. God bless you.
You're going to keep coming to church.
Oh, and you got momentum now, though.
I have a lot of
momentum. You got momentum. Yeah, you got momentum. I'm sorry, was you saying some more, something else?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, just excellent. So inspiring.
I'll just tell you, I just want to shake this world up. I want to keep moving the way God's told me to move.
Amen.
I don't shut up very easy. I'm pretty, if God tells me something, I pretty well get up and tell people.
You're unique. You're unique.
That's right.
Yeah, well, as you should be.
That's right. He created it, so let's show that. Let's shine that. Yeah. Well, I love your word.
I'm going to turn that.
Hallelujah. Coastal, good. Before I let you all go, those that obviously couldn't get to us, I will meet you in the streets, meet you in the highways, meet you in the byways, and wherever you and I connect or with Val, we'll say yes and amen to your move. And so as you do, remember our theme this year is to be faithful and fearless. And I really sense that word was right on point as far as getting off dead center and moving away from fearful to fearless. That's what we're going to do. So we're excited about that. I read this, and I just want to quickly read it as we transition into a business meeting, which it sounds all official, but it's such a praise report when we have our get-together. But I read this here, and it says, yeah, vision without action is just a daydream. Action without a vision is a nightmare. So, all right. So stop daydreaming and stop nightmares, okay? Let's just get ourselves on track. And let's go. So that's exciting. Barry, thank you. Where are you, Barry? Thank you. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm not chasing anybody out. You can grab a cup of coffee. And I just want to be able to just share with you the exciting stuff about the business meeting. John, are you ready? It's exciting. Just hang in here. I think we got the most well-attended business meeting ever, just because it's such an exciting testimony.